Thank you for downloading this Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire podcast. And as a special thank you for you, we've got a special deal just for you. Beer 52 shipped themed monthly boxes of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious exclusive craft beers selected to your preferences and the award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack using our code PROPER at beer52.com. So you get 8 exclusive hand-selected beers this month. It's Norwegian craft beers. The 100-page Ferment magazine and a snack, free next-day delivery, and flexible monthly subscription. All that for £14 in your first month at beer52.com.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Yeah, welcome back to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. Hull FC 32, Castlewood 24, the final scoreline in the Challenge Cup quarterfinals, which means Hull, Leeds, Salford and Wigan will be in the big hat. We'll be drawing the teams out of in a few moments' time. Full-time scores, a few games that still haven't finished. It's very rare on a Sunday afternoon or on any afternoon that the TV game is finished before everything else. But in the Championship, Batley 70, Sheffield 12, big crowd of over 2,000 there today. Hull KR 64, Dewsbury 11 is the latest. Oldham 12, Halifax 30. Bad news for Bulls fans, still about 10 minutes left of this one. Rochdale 20, Bradford 14, so still on minus 2 at the moment. In League 1, Hemel 20, Gloucestershire 32, Oxford 0, Newcastle 52, Keighley 45, London 26. What about this one? South Wales 22, Coventry 22. I don't think South Wales have won all season. And York City 16, York City United is 16, Whitehaven 18. Just waiting for confirmation of that one. I'm not sure what's happened between Whitehaven and Toronto, but no score there. I know it was a delayed kickoff, but no score come through as of yet from there. Never mind. So let's head back to the KCOM Stadium because they're about to make the draw for the semi-final to the Challenge Cup. Scully's not there. He's sat there waiting for me to tell him who's drawn who, which I'll do in a moment. But we should say, Scully, that was a very good, very, very good performance from Hull FC.
It was. It was brilliant, Richie. And I say, we all know how well Castlewood have been playing this year, haven't we? And certainly from an attacking point of view, you know, they've been sensational. They've been the best team all season. It proves that by being 6 points clear at the top of the league. But you've got to give credit where it's due. The defence from the black and white, they just literally nullified the Castleford attack. Every team tries to do it week in and week out and they just can't seem to do it. So yeah, there's been a lot of work on the training paddock by the black and whites to make sure that Castleford weren't effective with the ball in hand. And I say they fully deserve this result and fully deserve to go through to the semi-finals.
Well, Hull are the first team drawn out and they will play Leeds Rhinos in the semi-final. It's the Gary Schofield derby. so that means obviously Salford versus Wigan in the other one.
Yeah, well, don't be putting me on the spot, Richie. I want to win.
The ridiculous thing is, Scott, we've got ages to wait till the semi-finals anyway, right?
Yeah, I know it's a little bit daft, but I'll tell you what, the mouth-watering tide. And I tell you, Salford, they won't be intimidated by Wigan the way Salford are playing, that's for sure. But Hull and Leeds, what an absolute belter.
So a whole Salford final then?
Hey, why not? Why not? Why not?
Well, the word Leeds played on Friday, and obviously they're up against the Championship opposition with Featherstone. But I don't think the scoreline necessarily reflected Featherstone's performance in that, because I thought they played quite well, even though they lost 58-0.
Yeah, I've heard that myself. And the good thing about it, that they kept playing for the full 80 minutes, Rich, didn't they? They know the scoreboard was certainly, you know, when you looked at it, for, even after 20 minutes, that it was nowhere near going to be for them, and they weren't going to get the result and get through themselves. But they kept going for the full 80 minutes, which I'm sure would have pleased not just the chairman in Mark Campbell, the coach in John Sharp, but also to the supporters who went there as well. So yeah, they weren't going to get the win, but hopefully they got a nice payday from it.
And they've got a big game on Wednesday against Swinton as well, so they look to secure that place in the top four as well. So not the best of turnarounds for them, but hopefully they get back to winning ways on Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's the main goal, isn't it? You know, they want to finish in that top four, and they say that's where the big payday for them is there, and playing that in the middle ace is what they say. So Swinton in midweek, and then I think they go down to London.
I think that's right, yeah.
I think it's London at the weekend. So two testing games for John Sharp and his boys, but they know what sort of fixture this was going to have, and they'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's the perils of being good in the Challenge Cup, but best of luck to Featherstone in that game on Wednesday. Just back to today's game, first of all, and Hull, we've said their great performance from them. Is it just a blip for Castlewood? I know people are jumping on the bandwagon, bubbles burst, this, that and the other, but Hull have beaten them twice now, haven't they? And you've got to say, Lee Radford's obviously got a plan, and in both those games, Greg Eden, scorer of 30 tries in Super League this year, hasn't scored against the Black and Whites at the KCOM.
Well, and also as well, the both wingers are putting the massive pressure, and they say we all know that that's where Castlewood want to get the ball to, and they want to get it there pretty quickly, and they say they've done it all season, but full credit to Lee Radford and his players. You know, they've done a lot of work. Surely, as you know, look at the videos, but they've done it on the training paddock. They've just nullified Castlewood attack. So you've got to give credit where it's due, and that's to the Black and Whites. As the wheels fall off for Cast, no, I don't think so. No. And I say they'll bounce back from this year. Usually disappointing Darryl Powell and Ryan Sheridan. They've just left their seats here now. So that's what the Challenge Cup means, Rich. You know, it's just total disappointment. It's deflation when you get knocked out of this great competition, because Wembley is a very, very special place and everybody wants to get there.
And Hull, having been there last year and won there for the first time, they know exactly how special that is, won't they?
Oh, without a doubt, you know, and I say they still got the two hands on that trophy, and you know, they want to create history themselves by winning at Wembley, but they want to create history again at this club by doing it twice on the trot, and that will be unique for this club from there. So they've had a taste of it, they want more of it. And I tell you what a cracking time we've got in the semi-final, haven't we?
Oh, it'd be superb, absolutely superb. Can't wait for that one. Hull versus Leeds. Obviously, you were down pitch side before the game in the tributes to your old coach Alfie Bunting, and they came across really well on TV, and it must have been great for the supporters to be able to pay their tribute this afternoon.
Yeah, it was. He's the man who you know, literally changed his club, didn't he? You know, when he came in this club in 1978 until 1985, the trophies, what he brought, the quality of players. What he brought here, and also to giving the youngsters an opportunity, you know, not just my guys like myself and Lee Crooks and Gary Devotee, and saw Jimmy Ports from there, Neil Pucker and Andy Dannett. You know, the list is endless, and absolute legend at this club, and he will never ever be forgotten, not just as a rugby league coach but as a person as well, Richie.
Again on Hull's performance today, obviously they had that blip at Easter, they had a blip a couple of weeks ago, but they keep finding ways to get back to winning ways, and I guess it's something to say about Lee Radford's man management and the players in this squad as well.
It is. And also, I'd say he always seems to get a reaction, doesn't he? You know, when they have had a couple of bad results, he's looking for a reaction. He's looking for a positive reaction. And then it's not just a reaction for one game. He's getting that consistency point of view. But when you look at this whole side here now, you know, certainly we all know the forward pack from there. But I tell you what, where's Mark Sneed going to fit in this side? Because Jake Connor, he's playing very well. He's a good partner for Albert Kelly. Takes a lot of pressure off with the organisation. And the added fact as well, Jake Connor is kicking goals, and he's kicking plenty of them.
Yeah, he's only missed one today, didn't he? So that's not a bad record. And his kick's the difference between the two sides. Yeah, they're both scoring four tries.
They have indeed. And I say, but also when you look at the backs as well, the size they've been telling on Tumavavi and Fanoa, you know, they're pretty awesome too. And I say, Jamie Shaw with plenty of pace at the back. They've got a very, very well-balanced side, the Black and Whites. And I say, all credit to Lee Radford, because as I say, when they have had a couple of bad results, you know, just what, a few weeks ago, you know, Salford put 50, Leeds put 50, mm-hmm. And he wanted the reaction. And he's certainly got a reaction.
See, personally, I'm hoping all the players have go out and have a big celebration tonight, the whole players, because they play Wakefield, of course, on Friday in the Super League. But Wakefield, I don't know what we can say about that performance on Thursday. I'm glad I wasn't watching, that's all I can say.
Well, they got battered, Richie. Mm. Simple as that. Straight from the kick-off, and I say Salford, you know, with the ball in hand, just hard and straight and direct. And Wakefield didn't start getting physical in that game until after 25 minutes. That was the first time me and Mark Wilson called it and said, it's the first time here Wakefield have been physical, but it was too late. They were 20-0 down. The game had gone, it was lost. And just a little bit like Castlewood here today, Wakefield disappointed with that performance, but take nothing away from Salford. The line speed was Salford, was brilliant. They didn't let Wakefield play whatsoever. Wakefield this moment in time, they've had a good season. They've been playing smart, attractive rugby league, but again, coach Ian Watson, he's done his homework. The line speed, certainly, for the full 80 minutes was Salford. They just snuffed Wakefield out, and when they got the opportunities, they've got players who can score tries. So give credits where it's due, but yeah, Wakefield did get absolutely battered by Salford.
And especially for Salford, and having lost those back-to-back games in the league, to come back with that win in the quarter-final, obviously one game away from a place at Wembley with a semi-final against the Wigan Warriors side, who were out of sorts by that win against the Warriors. And so I know we're a month or so away from the semi-finals, we can't read anything into the form, but for the good doctor, and certainly for Ian Watson and the squad he's built there, and Willie Poaching and all the coaching staff and everyone else, A great opportunity for Salford to get to a final for the first time in a dog's age. Whether that will get people through the turnstiles, I'm not sure what, because I'm not sure what Salford and Wakefield and Huddersfield and these clubs who, you know, playing good rugby, I'm not sure what they can do to get people through the gates anymore.
Exactly, Rich, how they could get through that. So I think Salford, the chat, I think the last time they got there, was it 1969 when they played Cass?
I think that's probably right.
I think it's something like that, Richie. But I tell you what as well, let's just, because I said it on Friday night, look, you just have a look here. Salford, literally, Richie, were 2 minutes away from oblivion. Mm. We all know what happened at Hulk. They were 2 minutes away, because all the players' contracts had been gone, so they would have had to literally restart again, whether Kukas would have stayed there. But hey, but listen, what he has done there, Coach Watson, is nothing short of, well, absolutely sensational. He's got players in there who want to play for Salford. They want to play for him. And I say they're not there now as a luxury. And when you look at that 2 minutes, what has changed, not just where they stayed in Super League, but changed it as a club as a whole. They're in the semi-final of the Challenge Cup, the second in Super League, and literally 2 minutes away from oblivion. What a great job Watson's done.
Yeah, excellent. And I don't think anyone's going to forget that £1 million game. If they can get, what a turnaround that will be if they can get to Wembley. And obviously they're still second in the table. They travel to St Helens on Friday. I guess the big test for Chris Chester and the coaching staff and the players at Wakefield is not to happen to them what happened last year when they got knocked out of the semi-final of the Challenge Cup. And I know they had lots of injuries at that point, but the season ended at that point. Wakefield still have plenty to play for, even though, you know, their place in the top eight is secured. They want to get in that top four or extend their season to make it meaningful for as long as possible.
Yeah, they have to do. And as I say, they're certainly in that top eight now, so there's no pressure there whatsoever. So, you know, again, it's like a second part of the season where they've got to get that consistency going again, haven't they? You know, they don't want to get any embarrassing results over the next two or three games with the player that come here on Friday night. So that'll be a test of character for him, I would say, Richie, to be honest with you, from there. So, yeah, hopefully the Wakefield players, they've not got the factor six on, and they play some very smart, attractive rugby league like they have done all season.
Well, it's all right, they've got Warrington in a couple of weeks, so that should be all right.
A mouth-watering fixture.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Elsewhere this weekend, we'll talk about Warrington and Wigan in a minute, but Friday night we were at the John Smith Stadium. Huddersfield continuing their good run, three wins in a row now in Super League. They're up to seventh in the table and just a point behind the team they beat in St Helens, and it seems that Huddersfield are they're finding their form at the right time in terms of escaping the bottom four. They're probably not going to challenge for the top four, but at least they don't have to play in the qualifiers again.
No, and I say the Giants now, they won't be going back in the bottom four. You know, it's and Rick Stone made a comment on Friday night saying, yeah, it has taken a little bit longer. He's been here nearly 12 months now, and it has taken him a little bit longer than what he anticipated to you know, try and get the best out of the Giants players. But what he knows now, he knows the players themselves. He knows that the best positions what the Giants players want to play in, and also the players have bought into Rick Stone's philosophy from there. So it's all a good turnaround from them, playing with plenty of confidence, and the half-back partnership with Danny Bruffer and Ridyard, that is massive, because Ridyard takes hell of a lot of pressure off Bruffy. Bruffy's you know, enjoying himself again. He's got that smile back onto his face. Ridyard takes the pressure off. They've got the good balance from there. And the Giants, they're on the up. They won't be going back into the bottom four. They will certainly make the eight.
It's one of those strange things, isn't it? Obviously, Ridyard was surplus to his requirements at Leeds.
It's an interesting one, Richie. Interesting one, because I like him as a player.
And obviously, he's fitting in alongside a player. I imagine in Danny Bruffy, it would be sometimes difficult for people to fit alongside him, but he's obviously working well with him.
Well, it is. And again, as I've said plenty of times in commentary this season regarding halfbacks, they take the pressure off each other. You know, Bruffy will take charge, and then Ridyard will say, hey, listen, you know, give me 5 or 6 minutes there, and I'll just take control and let Bruffy, you know, plot around his field. Is what we see here with Luke Gayle at times and Declan Parton at times, and, you know, from there, and certainly Albert Kelly. From here now, in this combination with Jake Connolly, is working well, because they're taking pressure off each other and doing a very, very good job and getting the balance right.
Well, you, like I, had Huddersfield by 8 points, so we were both happy to see Ridyard missing that goal at the end, at least. So.
Yes, we was, to be honest.
Well, what about St Helens? Obviously, the honeymoon period well and truly over for Justin Holbrook. But like Rick Stone said, it took him a year to get to where he needs to be. And we look at that St Helens squad, and there's still plenty of players who are perhaps not at the quality of a St Helens player.
Yep, I agree. And to be honest with you, the halfbacks are clueless, absolutely clueless. And the forwards at times, a little bit like the Warrington pack, they've not really got much purpose, if I'm honest with you, from there. So, yeah, Justin Holbrook, I would imagine that he knows some players who he wants to keep and some players who he'll certainly want to bin next year, because at this moment in time, they're not good enough to put that said talent shirt on. And also as well, when you're looking for players to organise and take charge, there was three different players again kicking. Matty Smith, Theo Fard and, well, Wilkin, and can't help himself, can he? He did three kicks, and three of them again were absolute rubbish kicks. So why he's allowed to even touch the ball, even in the warm-up he's doing kicking, which I don't fully understand, to be honest with you. But there's nobody in that St Helens side who are grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck and taking charge. And I'd say at Saints, they're poor at the moment. They are poor.
Yeah, as we mentioned, they take on Salford on Friday night, which you fancy a win for the away side. They had a shield at home to Wigan, and they'll obviously fancy that one, despite Wigan winning yesterday in the Challenge Cup and Sam Tompkins is back and this and the other. The fact that they're in form, the fact that they're at home, Huddersfield will fancy another win over a team they've just gone above in the table.
No, they will. And I say it's three on the bounce now, isn't it? Warrington, Catlins and St Helens, and the mighty Wigan coming there Friday night. So, yeah, plenty of confidence for the Giants. And, yeah, they'll fancy the 2 points, Richie. Don't worry about that.
They've kind of, and this is kind of snuck under the radar, because we get the line out of the DW Stadium week in, week out, about the £1 million or so of salary cap that's in the gym. And we accept Wigan have their injuries, but so does every other team in Super League. But they've dropped to 8th in the table. Now, surely they're not going to drop into the bottom four, but they need to get a win from somewhere and somewhere quickly, don't they?
Of course they do. Absolutely. And who said they can't drop into the bottom four? Who said they can't? You know, because... All right, Warrington, they're hitting up, but Catalans, you know, they're pretty poor this moment. But Catalans and Warrington, I think they play each other next week, don't they? So that's going to that's going to get pretty tight there for Wigan. So who's to say Wigan cards up in the bottom four? You know, they have not got a God-ridden right to finish in that top eight, have they? Not at all.
Are we saying Sean Wayne's under pressure?
I wouldn't think so. No, I think his relationship with Lennigan is very, very solid. And no, I wouldn't say he's under pressure, but I think everybody's getting a little bit fed up about, well, yeah, there's £1 million in the stands. Well, that's tough. Simple as that, isn't it?
It is indeed. So Wigan at Huddersfield on Friday. We are at Headingley for Leeds versus Castleford. Castleford with a couple of days less rest. Leeds with that win over Featherstone on Friday. And having been beaten twice this season, of course you go back to last season and Cass scored 50 points at Headingley, that should be a very, very tasty encounter.
Very tasty, yes. And yeah, Leeds will want revenge. There's no two ways about it. And it's, we all know what happened in round four, don't we? Don't need me to repeat it. And I say, up at the Magic, they were just far too good for us. But yeah, Leeds stuck in there. So yeah, Leeds will be wanting. They'll be licking their lips for this one on Friday night. And yeah, they'll want a bit of revenge over Cass.
We should say congratulations to the South Wales Ironmen, who've won their first game of the season. I think they've lost every game since last August, but they've beaten Coventry 24-22. And a couple of other full-time scores that come through late from the Championship. Hull KR 64, Dewsbury Rams 11. Dewsbury kicking a drop goal, I think, by mistake in the first half.
How do you kick a drop goal by mistake?
Well, it sounded like, on Twitter, it sounded like they tried to just boot the ball out and it went through the sticks. So, right. It's a drop goal. And Bradford Bulls, I think, were 14-0 up, and they've lost at Rochdale 28-14. So the Jeff Tuvey regime starts with a defeat away from home. They're at home to Oldham, live on Radio Yorkshire, on Sunday next week. But they're still on -2. And Oldham, who, you know, they've been a bad run of form as well. But it's looking very difficult for the Bulls, and I know we keep coming back to this time and time again, but I'm not sure what's going to happen next for them.
No, they're in a mess, aren't they? It's as simple as that, and it doesn't matter where they get the loan players from or they get dual registrations from, they just can't seem to get it right, and yeah, simple, they're in a mess.
And I look at that league table, and we mentioned next weekend we've got that game between London and Featherstone down in the capital. What a result for London yesterday, winning 36-16 away at Toulouse. They're second in the table, 4 points clear of Halifax, who are just outside the top four. So it looks like London going to be challenging Hull KR, possibly not for the top spot, but those two looking almost certain to have a place in the qualifiers. And it'd be interesting to see, especially with London having been in there last year, what they've learned from that and how they can go forward this year.
Yeah, he's doing a great job, isn't he, Andrew Henderson? And as I say, we were at Featherstone, I think it's around about 8 or 9 weeks ago now, Rich, and Featherstone literally absolutely battered him, and just, well, London were very, very poor that day. But since then, I would imagine there was some harsh words said after that result from there, and they've just gone on a winning run. And also as well, they are playing very smart, attractive rugby league too. So yeah, Andrew Henderson again, just as we see with Watson, the coach of Salford, he's got players who want to play for London. They want players who want to express himself in the way that he coaches Henderson from there, getting some great results, consistency. And as I say, yeah, they'll make the four. And will they give the middle eights a bit of a shake-up?
Well, we've got that Widnes versus Lee game on Thursday, which I'm not sure anyone's really looking forward to.
Wowee, that'll be riveting. Wowee, that will be riveting, won't it?
There'll be something else on telly to watch somewhere else, I'm sure. But
what time's Emmerdale start?
I think it's double episodes on Thursday as well, so that's even better. But
great stuff.
Sheffield Eagles, we've got to talk about that. Ooh. Because they conceded 54 points last week.
At home, that was at home as well,
wasn't
it, last week?
70 this week at Batley, over 2,000 there today. They had the three entry. In memory of Joe Cox. But 70 points to 12 they've lost today. So big result for Batley. I think that's two in a row now for the Bulldogs. Again, they're 9 points behind Featherstone. They're not going to make the top four. But Batley, at least, having had that big season last season, at least they've done as well as you could expect trying to back that up this season.
Yeah, they have. And then I say it's been a... tough time at times, you know, for Disco there at Batley. He's brought in his philosophies from there, and the players have taken maybe a little bit longer than what he would have anticipated. But, as I say, he's getting there. But they'll be disappointed that they're not going to get anywhere near the top four. And, as I say, wanting the big money. But it'll take his time with Disco. I'm sure the players will buy into the philosophies, what he wants from there. But, Sheffield, they are either good... Oh, they are rubbish. It's as simple as that. There's no in-between with Sheffield, is there?
No, there is not indeed. So our live games next weekend, Leeds versus Castleford, Bradford versus Oldham. Of course, we're back from 6 o'clock tomorrow to look back on the weekend in Rugby League, as we do every week. What's in the column this week, Ray? What will I be reading about on my way to
work? The column tomorrow is, it's how good Huddersfield are, how good Salford are, certainly from the coach's point of view. And then thirdly, how rubbish St Helens are. Simple as that.
So it's two good and one bad thing.
It is indeed. That's what it's all about tomorrow, Rich.
And looking forward to a light. We're back in the studio tomorrow. No horses. And no David Fifita coming to attack you either. I thought it was a disgraceful attack on a Rugby League Hall of Famer.
Good bit of fun. Good bit of banter. That's what it's all about, Rich. And it just shows that we've still got a bit of character about us.
Oh, it's disappointing. It's a bit like the boxing. When Hay and Bellew, they had their old trash talking before, and then they all kissed and made up afterwards, and like, oh.
Well, I wouldn't say I'd kiss him, to be honest with you. I'm sure he wouldn't want to kiss me as well, to be honest with you. But no, it was good banter, and I say it was all taken in good spirit.
Excellent stuff. Gary, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Enjoy the exciting trip out of Hull, and hopefully we shall see you at some point tomorrow.
We will indeed. Looking for a great show. Cheers, Rich.
Thank you much, guys. Here for the Rugby League Hall of Famer live from Hull, where the Challenge Cup holders are through to the semi-finals, where they will meet the Leeds Rhinos after beating Castleford Tigers by 32 points to 24.